CliffCentral.com.
It's time for It's Going to Be Okay, which is where we check in with our own household shrink. He's our live-in shrink. He's the guy who we rely on to help us figure out whether or not we're going to have a bad week or a good week, or we can figure out some way through the week. And if you have an issue that you need resolved and you want to join us live on the show for some free therapy, then send us an email, contact@cliffcentral.com. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm well. How are you?
Hey.
Awesome.
Hey, Doc.
Awesome. So, Doc, we're going to try and get Lebang on. I know she's got load shedding at her house at the moment, but I do want to explain, just to get to the point of this, because even if we can't get Lebang on, I still think it's something worthy of discussion. So she was saying that she suffers from something that I saw DJ Zintler was saying she suffers from as well, which is working mom guilt. So how to get this balance right between working long hours to provide for your kids financially and then also spending enough time with them, which some people say is even more valuable in some cases. So she's tearing herself apart, like how much of what she does on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, Lebang was back at work like 2 weeks after having her kid. Is so much of it wrapped up in bringing home the money, and how much of it is about like being around, just being present, being the mom? And she said it's tough because she feels like she's between a rock and a hard place. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here on Lebang's behalf. Let me just see if I can get her on here. Hey, Lebang, can you hear us? Ooh, no, I don't know. I don't think we're going to get her on. But she's like, how much of it is just about money and how much of it is about spending the time? And do you really have to put these two both in the same category and then figure out which one makes you a better person? It's a tough choice, right?
It is a very tough choice, and it's very common. And mothers have it, and dads have it too. The thing with women especially, they tie their identity heavily to being a parent, being a mom. You know, if you ask a guy, hey, tell me about you, the first thing he'll say is his profession. I do this for a living, I do that for a living. If you ask a woman, generally what, right, or tell me a bit about you, the first thing that she will say, I'm a mom, I'm a wife. So women tie their identity heavily to their relationships, and the most important ones to them.
Well, maybe they're right, because I've never seen a tombstone that says lawyer or doctor or businessman or CEO. A tombstone always says father, son, brother, sister, wife, daughter. That's what it says.
Relationships are important. Relationships are important.
Yeah.
No question. That's the real stuff. That's the real stuff. You're going to, at the end of your days, you're going to remember the relationships that you've had with people and the experiences and how they made you feel.
Right.
Relationships are a real deal. In the last 2 years, we've struggled a lot with that. And now that things have opened up, people are getting calibrated through other people, which is very, very important. But women do struggle with that. But there is a way to fix it, but you have to be aware of this concept of adulting. And I've mentioned this a couple of times on the show, and I want people to really absorb this because this will help you a lot with your guilt. The concept of adulting is the commitment to a position, commitment to a goal, whilst understanding that that comes at a cost, that comes at a sacrifice. There's no such thing as committing to something without sacrificing something else. Children want all of it. Children want this and that and that and this and getting the benefits without understanding or without taking on the cost. Adults understand that once I commit to a position, I'll get to Lebang in a second, once I commit to a position, that comes at a cost. I can't get away from it. So if I commit, you were talking earlier on the show, I caught the tail end of it about, you know, being healthy. So once I choose to be healthy, I have to let go of sleeping in late. Once I choose to be healthy, I have to sacrifice the chocolate cake or the pizza that I want for lunch. So there's always a sacrifice. Well, people go, what if I don't sacrifice, I just have the chocolate cake or the pizza or sleep in late? Well, then you sacrifice your health. There's no such thing as committing to a position without sacrificing. And as adults, we accept the value of the position that we've picked, and we take it on with a sacrifice. Now, sometimes my decisions, the positions that I pick, are in conflict. So, for example, in Lebang's case, I want to be an available mother whilst I still want to be able to provide for my family. And sometimes these positions, and you've got to put in a hierarchy, but you have to give up something. So I can't be an available father 16 hours in a day while still be able to provide for my family. Something has to give. And if I don't pick a position, I sit on the fence, I will die on the fence with guilt. I will die on the fence with guilt because I'll never be able to be the available father that I want to be, and I'll never be able to provide as well as I want to provide. So I've got to pick a position. But the position doesn't have to be one way or another. It could be somewhere in the middle. So, for example, if a mom wants to be an available mom, define it for yourself. So I want to give you a quick example. I had a patient. I'll tell you two stories. This particular individual is dating a guy, and she is so... her definition of loyalty is so skewed that she does not allow herself to watch movies with other men in it, because she says that if she sees other men in a movie, that means she's cheating on her boyfriend. Wow. And she said to me, Khanan, what's wrong with loyalty? And I said to her, there's nothing wrong with loyalty. There's something wrong with your definition of loyalty. That's what's tearing you apart. Another story, I had a guy that used to wash his hands literally 16 hours in the day. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, Khanan, what's wrong with hygiene? I said, there's nothing wrong with hygiene. There's something wrong with your definition of hygiene. That's what's tearing you apart. So the same thing with being a mom. Somebody would say to me, Khanan, what's wrong with being an available mom? Well, there's nothing wrong with being an available mom, but there might be something wrong, and maybe you need to adjust your definition of what it means to be an available mom. Maybe it's not a time thing. Maybe it's a quality thing. So instead of defining being an available mom, well, being with my kids for 16 hours in the day, maybe you need to define being an available mom is being with my kids 3 hours in the day, but put your phone away when you bath them. Put your phone away when you play a puzzle with them. Turn the TV off. Stop talking to anybody else whilst you're engaging, and make the quality higher. But you have to pick a position. You can't sit on the fence and want everything. Pick a position. And maybe that means also being a provider. So what's wrong with being a provider? Nothing wrong with being a provider, but maybe your definition of being a provider needs to shift as well. There has to be an adaptation, and there has to be an acceptance that a sacrifice comes with that position.
I do like what you said just now about how everything is a trade-off. Oh, sorry. I did like what you said just now about how everything's a trade-off.
Everything.
Because once you realize that, you know, there's no free lunch, there's no such thing as getting everything you want all of the time with no cost. Everything's got a cost.
Everything.
So once you realize everything's a trade-off, then you start to think of all your outputs and inputs as sliding scales, and you can adjust them according to what your needs and your desires and your suggested outcomes for yourself ought to be. And then it makes it much easier. You don't have to have, and guilt is completely pointless in this whole story, right? I mean, guilt's not going to help anybody, and it's going to make you feel a whole lot worse about your sliding scales. And if you're dumb enough to feel guilty about a bunch of sliding scales, you're missing the point, because there's no reason to feel like that.
So, Gareth, I mean, how many times have we discussed the coin theory? Mm-hmm. It completely applies here. Invest your time and energy into things that create the most amount of value, and invest your time into things that create the least amount of cost. It is what it is. You've got a limited amount of coins invested where there's value. Now, guilt is actually, believe it or not, is a very functional emotion. We've developed it 200,000 years ago because guilt makes us assimilate into a cultural and social norms. People that don't feel guilty, we send them away to prisons and psychiatric wards, where they literally shun them away, because you have to socialize yourself somehow. So if I hurt the community norm, I should feel guilty, because that would make me stop violating the rules and get back right back into the community or the social circle, which ultimately protects me. But when guilt serves no purpose, it actually breaks me down. It makes me feel less about myself as a human being, then that is when I need to shift. Not, I can't eliminate guilt, that's not healthy, but I've got to change my definition of what is right versus what is wrong. So as life changes in front of us, we've got to readapt and change our definition of what is acceptable and what is not. Because what was acceptable to me when I was 5 years old is very different to what was acceptable for me at 10, at 15, at 30, at 35. And I have to adapt with the times, otherwise I'm going to feel guilty for no reason. It's going to break me down for sure.
Isn't it also just a big thing, just thinking of Lebang's question, is with mothers and working mothers, it's so easy to fall into the trap of comparing yourself to other mothers and what percentage they're giving to their job or to their kids. It's so easy to compare, and it just shouldn't be like that. I mean, I like to think that the generation of single and childless by choice people are quite comfortable with what they've chosen, and they know that somebody else is going to be in a completely different position. Their best friend might be married with four kids, and we shouldn't compare ourselves in that way. But mothers and even fathers can't get away from this. What are other mothers doing? Are they doing it right and I'm doing it wrong? So easy to fall into that trap.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Leanne, I think we've discussed this before, but this is such an important concept. The whole importance of being calibrated accurately. Every human being needs to be calibrated with external instruments. That goes for without saying. Nobody can calibrate themselves. The problem is that people try to calibrate themselves by their own feelings. And we discussed it many times. Children do that. Children let their feelings guide them, lead them. So what feels good, they do, and what feels bad, they don't. Adults don't get calibrated by their own feelings. They get calibrated by goals which are external. Goals and measurements. Goals and measurements. Goals and measurements. Mm. So the problem is that when people try to calibrate themselves, they end up gaslighting themselves. Or the problem is people try to calibrate themselves with broken instruments. So lean on my cardiologist to tell me what's wrong with my car, or lean on my mechanic to tell him what's wrong with my heart. It's just a terrible way to calibrate yourself, because you'll end up being gaslighted. So you've got to ask yourself, am I being calibrated with the right circle, with the right people around me? Now, there's something really beautiful about being calibrated. And the analogy I might have used this with you before is, if my goal is to lose 1 kilogram of weight a week, that's my goal. And my way that I calibrate myself is to get on the scale. So I get on the scale, and the scale shows me that I've lost 1 kilogram a week. Now, Joe Schmo comes along and says, Hanan, you're looking fat. Well, guess what? I don't care, because Joe is not my instrument. The moment you get calibrated, you stop caring about what other people think. The subtle art of not caring what other people think is being calibrated accurately. Now, it works the other way too, because if the scale tells me I've gained weight, let's just say, and Joe Schmo comes along and says, Hanan, you're looking amazing, guess what? I don't care, because Joe is not my chosen instrument. Don't fall in love with toxic positivity either, because toxic positivity is having everybody, all your narcissists have it, having people around you tell you, great, you're great, you're great, you're great, you're wonderful, you're great, you're amazing, you're great. That's the perfect way to fall apart. If every single person told me, if the scale, imagine my scale always told me that I'm looking great, I won't adjust. I'll crash every single time. It will gaslight me. So I've got to choose the right instrument, an instruments that are valid, instruments that are reliable, and that's the only way to not compare yourself to someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like it. Can't argue with it. As usual, Dr. Hanan's got some smart, sensible words for us this Monday morning. Thanks, Doc. It's always good to check in with you. You are keeping us all sane, even if it's just one Monday at a time. All right, good stuff.
Great to be with you guys.
Thanks, Doc. Very good. That is Dr. Hanan Bushkin. It is going to be okay. CliffCentral.com.